There's been a lot over the last week, a lot of action, free agency trades. Mitch and I just spent half an hour talking about Russ, Justin Fields, the Pittsburgh Steelers, what to expect, how that situation is going to play out. Talked about that on the Pivot Point weekly episode on the Dynasty Theory Patreon. But Dan, I want to hear your thoughts here because it seems like you feel fairly confident and comfortable with your take here on Russell Wilson joining the Pittsburgh Steelers. And just less than 24 hours ago, the Steelers sending a conditional 6th-round pick for Justin Fields.
I don't know if it's confident or concerned, JB. You know, I'm like this crotchety Dallas Cowboy fan right now who's like, you know, fantasy football life is great now. We're watching guys moving over, like all over the place. But, you know, the Cowboys, the Steelers, JB, I'm concerned about these two historic franchises right now. And, you know, I was just tuning in a little bit to a hot pivot point that you guys put on there. And you had some good analysis on Russ and Justin Fields. But I don't want either of them, man. Like, are we not concerned about, like, so many different things? They haven't had good quarterback play since healthy Big Ben. You know, it kind of fizzled off. The Steelers are like the Cowboys. They've been struggling for a lot of years. And we're given all this high praise of, hey, they Coach Tomlin, they always finish 500. Like, 500 isn't exciting anymore. Like, is it time maybe to turn the page? They hire Arthur Smith, who in the fantasy community we are greatly concerned about. I think Russ is good for the moment until Justin Fields' legs excites him because they really need him. And, you know, I know I took a lot of slack in the past saying Justin Fields can't throw the ball, and now it's finally come to fruition, and here we are. Is it, you know, the old saying, two quarterbacks are like having none, man. Like, I think Pittsburgh has troubles. Deontay Johnson's gone, so now it's all on my boy George Pickens. Allen Robinson's gone, and he was nothing in the first place. What do you see happening, JB? You are right there in the heart of Pittsburgh. You've had to call the contractor up, send the Russell Wilson statue back. Is this Justin Fields news has got to be disturbing to your Russ shares?
No, I think it's fine, really. You know, honestly, I have Russell Wilson. We talked about this again. If you want an in-depth conversation on Russ and Fields, check out the weekly episode of the Pivot Point on the Dynasty Theory Patreon, $5 a month, and it's a free for the first week. But I have Fields and Russ in that 206 to 211 tier. You know, like you said, if you have two quarterbacks, do you really have any? And I get that. Russell Wilson comes in the one-year contract. They are saying, hey, Russ is the starter. Okay. But really, what does that mean? Like, yeah, he's the starter, but there is no risk here for the Pittsburgh Steelers when you look at Russell Wilson and his contract. If he and Tomlin don't mesh, if, you know, Russ is still being weird, okay, they can easily move on. If he's not producing, you know, the Steelers take pride in being able to compete, right? That would be, we want to be 500. If they go out there and Russ struggles, there's nothing stopping them from pulling the plug. Now, I think they're going to be in a lot of close games. I think they're going to be in a lot of low scoring games, especially because of that defense. But if Russ isn't getting the job done, they're going to move on. And now you have Justin Fields, who is an explosive, inconsistent playmaker, okay, who would probably do well in Arthur Smith's offense. But what does that mean for the rest of the team, especially the pass catchers from a fantasy perspective? You're not going to be loving George Pickens. You're not going to be loving Pat Freiermuth. But in the same breath, Justin Fields supported Cole Kmet. He supported DJ Moore, but DJ Moore, I think, is significantly better than George Pickens in a different game. But the upsides there with Fields, the lower ceiling, higher floor stability from a short-term perspective is there with Russ. From a dynasty perspective, I want to shop Russell Wilson. Especially if a team has Justin Fields, I'm exploring what they're willing to pay. If I don't have Russell Wilson, I'm testing the waters and throwing out shit for Justin Fields and seeing what sticks. Most likely, hey, I'm going to stick with Justin Fields because of the sunk cost, like Mitch talked about in the Pivot Point. I'm going to see this through because the ceiling's there.
JB, Pittsburgh didn't give you much time, unfortunately, but did you try to do anything with your Russ Wilson shares when he got that job, or did you notice anything out there in the trade market? Because I think during the season, we're going to see the same thing. I think there's going to be short windows to buy or sell Russ and or Fields.
Yeah, I went out, I tested the waters. I was unsuccessful. I have a lot of Russell Wilson. I have a lot of exposure. So it's tough for me to go out and say acquire more, especially me personally. But there are trades that were going through 201, 202, 203. If I can get that, I'm most likely moving on from Russell Wilson. It would take a very, very specific situation for me to want to hang on to him. But if this gives me the window, and now I don't know that we have the window just because even the Steelers coming out and saying Russell Wilson's the starter, I think people really want to see for their own eyes how this plays out.
I agree with both of you on this. I talked about this in previous weeks, like Justin Fields, for whatever reason, NFL teams just don't like him. Whatever is the reason why they didn't love him coming out of college. They didn't really love his last few years in Chicago, and no one was willing to trade for him. So that's just the basics on how that is. He's great in fantasy. I'm not doubting that he is good in fantasy. I've played a lot of DFS with him. I did a lot of prize picks with him this past year, and it worked out great. But the problem is, if NFL teams aren't buying into you, it's something that we should be able to realize as dynasty managers. So he's going to the Steelers. They have Russ. If I have neither of them on my rosters, I'm not going out and saying this is a buy low time. Go pick up one of these guys. I'm staying completely away from the situation. The situation is fine for whoever has them at their current values, but I'm not willing to go out and acquire them. But if I do have one or the other, and it's going to be hard to move Russ, just like you guys brought up. Moving Fields, maybe there's some truthers out there still. I think the best move you could do, like we brought up on the pivot point earlier, is combine both of them. If you have Fields, go trade for Russ. If you have Russ, go get Fields. You'll have a starting quarterback for at least this year. The issue kind of is going to be, if you have Russ, that Fields manager probably believes Fields is taking over because they've had Russ this whole time, right? They were never willing to sell him or to trade him. So more than likely, it's going to be, if you have Justin Fields, you could probably go get a Russ, right? If you don't have Fields already, I think that manager is just going to hold on to his previous value and be extremely unwilling to trade him for anything that I'd be willing to pay at least.
I like that, Mitch. I think both of your takes when I was listening to Pivot Point, I think you guys went through rankings, and I think I heard JB said he even had Will Levis ahead of him. And I think that's as you're getting to the back end of the quarterback rankings there. And Mitch, I agree. I think you're investing in the Pittsburgh quarterback situation. Not because you want to, though. I think, you know, we all realistically do have certain rosters where your quarterback two or three is kind of in flux and you're just trying to stabilize. It's when you do have the Will Levises, the Derek Carrs, those kind of guys where it's like, okay, I'm going to go in on the Steelers situation. So at least I'm stable for hopefully this season. And JB is on mute.
John muted himself?
Oh my God. There's what some optimism for Pickens. We have a comment here from Space and Feld. Pickens can be 80% of DJ Moore with Fields.
You guys know I love George Pickens, all right? He's a former Georgia Bulldog. I am not as high as I once was. I tried trading more shares at the end of last year. We flipped the script to this year, and I don't mind having Fields. But really, my focus now is, what is the state of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Because when you look at any fantasy team, certain things got to happen to open them up. You lose Diontae Johnson, and JB, I think you mentioned earlier, the Steelers, they're going to grind it out. They're going to have a good defense. They might be competitive because of the old Pittsburgh Steeler way. It seems like they're going. But what does that mean for us in dynasty and fantasy football? I'm going to double cover George Pickens right now until you can find a way to beat me in the passing game. And you got to beat me in the passing game with Russ and or Justin Fields. So I could see eight in the box there on that run game, which is going to be interesting. So I think Pittsburgh either through the draft or they got to make some kind of move to get some help for him. I know Freiermuth's back. Connor Hayward at tight end. Do they have any other receivers, JB? They got that fast, speedy guy. What's his name?
Calvin Austin. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's somebody you look at. But again, I think volume is going to be the big issue. And they are going to approach the draft. My thoughts, again, my personal view, is the Steelers go offensive line in the first round. And then in the second and or the third, I could see them double tapping wide receiver there and bring some options in. There's a comment from Bill. Let me know what you guys think about this trade. 16 team super flex, Geno Smith or Fields in 202. So the 18th overall rookie pick with Fields or Geno Smith, Mitch?
Geno easily for me. Geno's a starting quarterback. I think he's going to be. I know people love their Sam Howell for whatever reason, but I think Geno's they have the playmakers there still. They're going to be a good offense in my opinion. Yeah, I think they'll be a lot closer to what they were in 22 than what they were in 23. And I think I'm willing to buy Geno in a lot of leagues to where I'm not really wanting to get Russ or Fields in any league. And the 202 in a 16 team league, that's probably going to be some running back that I probably don't love at that point. I mean, I would just much rather have the quarterback in a 16 team league.
Yeah, I agree. Because you're not getting the Justin Fields of last year where it's a starting quarterback and 202, and that sounds exciting. You're getting locked in Geno, and Geno's in that category that I think we're all a little bit nervous about. We know that Sam Howell goes in there. He's got some upside, but it looks like Geno's their guy for the foreseeable future as long as he doesn't mess up. And he's got some upside in that Seattle offense. So if you have any quarterback issues, Fields isn't going to do it for you in that format. And 202 is nice, but not enough to lose a starting quarterback.
Does that change for either of you if we drop it down to a 12 team and it's still the 202 in Fields?
Only if, like, in a 12 team, there might be hope that you have some depth and you don't necessarily need Geno. So if you're in a little bit of a gambling mode, you know, you might need to fill the running back position, or it's a deep receiver class there, that 202 might be beneficial for you if you're totally loaded. But I'd probably be negotiating, trying to get a little more.
If I'm taking, yeah, I'll probably take it because Geno is probably right around the 110. So it's only
four. I don't think he's moving for 110.
You think it's more than that?
Less.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So anyways, I mean, it's pretty close, right? And then you get Justin Fields on top, and there's going to be that hopium around Fields. We're seeing it in the comments right now. We're seeing a lot of people, you know, talk about how they like Fields still. So I think you're going to be able to move him in a 12-team league. And it's not that I want to have him on my rosters. I don't want them on a competing team. But if I'm rebuilding, I'm more than happy to move off of Geno in that situation.
One last comment here, because Mitch, I thought it was a really good point you brought up when we discussed it earlier this morning. Justin Fields, he's in a situation where, yes, in the future, he could rebound. He could have a starting job, but you're not, it's going to be very unlikely he ever gets that 4 or 5 year deal at, you know, $40, $50 million a year. Mm-hmm. It typically just does not happen when you look historically at quarterbacks that have gone down his career path up to this point. And the example we brought up, obviously from a rushing perspective, very, very different, but sticking with the Geno Smith conversation, mm-hmm. his value is in a very precarious situation. The way his contract is structured, you know, it's basically one more year, and then the Seahawks could easily move on. So I just don't know that from a value perspective, Justin Fields is going to be getting up into that upper echelon based on future situations, where he could be landing, what the contract would look like. But we do know that when he is on the field, he gives you that tremendous ceiling. Is he going to be on the field? We don't know. And we could spend all day talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers and Russell Wilson.
But
let's move on, because there is a lot. Mitch put together some fantastic show notes. A lot of guys, they landed in great situations. They landed in great spots, especially the running backs. So, Mitch, I'm going to throw this to you. And you said, you're going to say something. What are you going
to
say?
No, I was waiting for you to keep going.
Oh, okay. I saw the mouth open ever so slightly.
I was getting ready. I was getting amped.
He's all excited. Right, so he's anxious.
You told us we can't pick Saquon Barkley. So which free agent running backs are you most happy with? Their landing spots, their contracts, etc.
Okay. So it's just that Barkley is like he's the best free agent running back, and he went to probably the best spot, right? So I'm like, sure, we could all pick him. But the guy I'm going with, he's not a free agent, but I considering him a free agent, it's Joe Mixon. I know it wasn't really free agency signing, but he was traded. So
hey, the name of this episode is free agency and trades.
Oh, good, because I have free agency frenzy at the top of the show notes, so that's good.
There are a million episodes called Free Agency Frenzy. We've done it before. There's a million episodes Free Agency Fallout. That's the episode name I picked for our guys in the Fantasy Effect, which are also on the Dynasty Theory YouTube channel. And there's nothing creative to an original. So I was like, let's just go free agency and trades.
It's fair.
I don't want to include the word frenzy. Anyway.
It's fair. It's fair. Mixon's just walking into a great spot. Like, you could see what Dingle Singletary did. Devin Singletary did this past season for the Texans, right? Devin Singletary is not a good running back. I mean, if we want to talk about one of the worst signings, Singletary going to the Giants is a really bad signing for the amount of money they're paying him. But no, don't even throw it. He was fine this year because he was in a good offense.
He's getting barely over $5 million a year.
He should get vet minimum. I don't know what it is, but that should be what he's getting at this point. $5 million a year is more than David Montgomery's getting, just so you know, for the Lions. I'm just saying.
Timing is... Oh, go.
Anyways, Joe Mixon, I think he has the highest upside of anyone outside of Josh Jacobs. I thought one of you guys were going to bring him up, and Saquon Barkley. I think Joe Mixon... I can't with Dan. I can't even look at the screen.
Dan's on.
He's in
today.
A good spot. It's a good offensive line with a great quarterback. They kept their offensive coordinator. The Houston Texans are going to take off again. That division is horrible, so I think they're easily going to win it. And he is going to be the one that produces from week 1 to week 17, to where he is going to give you 14, 15 fantasy points a week. And he's going to be that guy you could put in his running back 2 spot all year long, and he's going to be cheaper than everyone else. Because as we can see, Dan is like, I'm surprised he's not ripping stuff off the wall to throw it at the screen right now because he's out of flags.
Mitch, and you were corrected in the chat. David Montgomery, you would think you would know this as a Lions fan, is getting $6 million per year.
I was just trying to go with it there. Like, it was much better. Like, I really like the take there. But then someone has to go use facts, and I don't really like it all that much.
Mitch is that, like, Jeff, that you know where, like, there's those the couple walking down the street and the guy snapping his head looking at the, like, the hot, you know, the hottie there, and he gets in trouble. That is Mitch right now. Like, he sees the candy in the candy dish, and he's grabbing it, you know. Barkley to the Eagles and Texans, he's all on it. But, Mitch, you know things don't happen in 2024 the same way as they do in 2023 very often. I think that's the low-hanging fruit there. Barkley, you know, hate that he went to the Eagles. I'm going to try to keep the bias out. But that was a struggling offense just 1 year ago. They just lose an all-pro center. There's a little bit of questions there in Philly, how that's going to work out. And it was only not too long ago I remember watching Joe Mixon, man. And those legs seem to be losing a little bit of, you know, umph there. And to say Singletary's not good,
he's not.
Man, he balled out last year. And he did well when he had opportunities in Buffalo. Now he goes home to a coach that he likes. So I struggle. That's why I throw the challenge flag and the penalty flag out there. Is I think you're liking that, you know, good-looking attraction that's walking right by you right now, but neglecting the Josh Jacobs 4 years, $48 million on Green Bay with a passing game that's really popping right now. And he's younger. You know, if it wasn't for injuries last year, I think he could go off. Derrick Henry with Lamar could be just
you
flat out.
You had to choose one, Dan. Scary. You've gone through like 6 already.
But I'm just saying, you know, like Mixon, but you kind of had Barkley and Mixon, so I'm just kind of saying Jacobs and Henry is a little more attractive.
Well, Dan wants to make sure he throws every name out there so I can just keep making different YouTube shorts.
I learned from the best, JB. I learned from the best.
Really quick, really quick, just on Josh Jacobs, Andrew Brandt had a tweet about it. It's a one-year deal with team options afterwards. So I know we were all like 4 years. That's great. It's really just a one-year deal for him, and then see how it goes after that.
But I think
very well.
I listen. So a few things here. You know, it's been like a minute and a half since I've talked, and you know, my brain's ready to fry.
Look out,
Mitch. You're talking about the David Montgomery contract, which was incorrectly stated. We apologize to anybody that may have affected. compared to the Devin Singletary contract, well, the cap, even from 1 year to the next, the cap situation changes overall across the NFL, but also the supply and demand with the incoming rookies, that plays a role there. Like, it really does. Like, you have a comment about the wide receivers later. Well, we see the wide receiver market this year, and outside of Calvin Ridley, rather, unspectacular there. But, you know, you have a lot of depth coming in. At running back, we're all talking about this running back class. I think that plays a role here with the way running backs were flying off the board in free agency and why in previous seasons we didn't necessarily see it. Like these running back deals from top to bottom, I think it's something to be excited about. But to Mitch's point about the Josh Jacobs situation, you look at these deals, Derrick Henry, 2-year deal. They can pretty much get out after 2024 if they wanted to. DeAndre Swift, 3 years, $24 million. They could really get out at any point and it doesn't kill them. Zach Moss, 2 years after 2024, they can easily get out. Josh Jacobs, Joe Mixon, $9 million a year. You know, we see these players, if they don't restructure, they can get cut. Joe Mixon was going to be one of those casualties. Aaron Jones is a 1-year deal. So yeah, from a dollar perspective, these all look pretty good. Devin Singletary, 3 years, $16.5 million. Saquon Barkley, $38 million across the board with 3 years. But like these teams can easily move on. So I like the contracts from the running back perspective. They were very quick to jump on these signings because of what we're expecting in the 2024 NFL draft. Mitch is furrowing his brow. I'm not quite sure why.
We don't like that. Like there's no Bijan or Gibbs in this draft, but I don't think that's changing how someone's picking up Devin Singletary for the Giants.
Attribute to this change then with the way the running back market went? All these guys, they get franchise
tag.
There
was more money. The cap went up, so there was more money. So
was that not the first thing I said though?
It was. I'm just saying it has nothing to do with the rookies. You also said that point. I'm just saying it has nothing to do with the rookies.
And I completely disagree with that.
Well, I'm sorry that you're wrong, John, but it's okay. Go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt. Go ahead.
No. But if I can say who I am most excited about, we had a Derrick Henry take.
It only took 5 minutes to get here.
I know. Yeah, Jacobs take, Joe Mixon. Really? I mean, I think that kind of covers it. There's no, but like the Joe
Mixon.
Who are
you picking?
I think I would pick. It's Josh Jacobs and Joe Mixon for me.
You got to pick one.
Josh Jacobs.
There we go.
Listen, I know they have the outs year after year, but
they don't have to.
I really think they're going to stick with him. And with the way the salary cap is increasing, $12 million a year overall, I know a lot of the guaranteed money, if not all of it, is going right away. I see a comment about Antonio Gibson. That's not sexy. And I know a lot of people saying, what are the New England Patriots doing? Ramondre Stevenson is a free agent after 2024. He isn't necessarily like most running backs, the poster child for a clean bill of health. I think Antonio Gibson could be intriguing in that offense as a pass catching option where they really don't have many. And, you know, I think Antonio Gibson, he's an intriguing one. Low-end option. If you can get him for a low third, which I think is really doable, why not? Because we see the value of these running backs whenever you're in the middle of the fantasy season and what these guys go for. So for me, you know, Antonio Gibson, if you can spend a random third in 2025 or a late third in 2024, I think that's a low-risk opportunity to potentially get a starting running back that has pass catching upside and a team where they need weapons.
Yeah, JB Mitch, man, I think there's like an underlying theme here. No matter who we like we've got to get around this running back situation. You know, I think the salary cap is, as we all just kind of think alluded to, it's up so they could spend a little bit more, but they're still not really spending a lot. And there's still no like great contracts out there. They're really year to year, 2 years kind of tops. I mean, this could change. We're going to see a change somewhere in the draft. Someone's going to get impacted. The NFL is still devaluing running backs. Like, I am sitting here through free agency with my Cowboys who, like, Pollard goes to Tennessee. They haven't signed Rico Dowdle, which, I mean, Rico Dowdle, we're really still talking about him here. They have nobody. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely nobody. Like, Deuce Vaughn is Malik Davis. These are pickups, man. These are... It is saying that Dallas believes they are going to draft someone in the running back in the draft. And they might not even necessarily, like, I hope they do, because they've never not had a feature back before. I hope it's in the second round. But they could easily go draft someone third, fourth, fifth round, and they're running for him this year. I mean, Rico Dowdle was an undrafted free agent what, we got Ty Chandler running the ball in Minnesota. NFL is saying to us, it don't matter when and where I will get, we could get a running back.
But Dan, that's a great point with the Dallas Cowboys situation, because we could talk about how all these landing spots have happened, right? And we've talked about, there was Miami in the past, there's been Houston in the past, to where we're saying, hey, this is a great landing spot, right? The Cowboys are going to bring someone in, and if that guy is a rookie or if he has a little bit of talent, that guy's going to shoot up running back rankings. I mean, it's going to happen. Right now, there is probably a good solid top 12, top 13 of running backs to where everyone kind of has those guys in the same part, right? Below that, it's whoever you like, you could just throw them in, right? But if Dallas gets a guy that we assume is going to get 60% of the touches, he's going to be a top 12 back almost automatically. And if it's a rookie, he could definitely break in maybe above, probably above James Cook, which would put him right in the running back 12 scenario.
There's definitely a great opportunity there. And I think it just the matters of how far does a team like Dallas, and I'm sure there's some other running back situations that are hanging on. Where does Zeke go? Where does Dante Foreman go? Where does Kareem Hunt go? Like, these guys are still lingering. So, you know, there's a few of them out there.
J.K. Dobbins, which people, some people still believe in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, Dobbins would be a good one.
Like, but if any of those guys land in Dallas pre-NFL draft, I would look to shop them immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Any of those guys you mentioned, because I would be shocked if they don't go after a top five running back from this class. I would be very, very surprised.
We really got to see who that guy's going to be. What role would they have in Dallas? What's the talent level? Because we saw this with Ronald Jones last year. For a minute, it's like, hey, Ronald Jones is in Dallas. That did not last long at all. He never even saw the field. And then we didn't even mention Gus Bus, really, with the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, well,
if I'd be able to talk, I was going to get there.
Oh, well, how do I know? He's not in the show notes, JB.
John, I have a question. He's on I have a question notes. For you, John. You can yes. go off with this all you want, okay? Right now, you have Trey Benson in the running back 13 to 15 tier, right?
Correct.
We've seen great landing spots. Let's just keep great landing spots going. Let's say the running back one or running back two at worst in this class goes to Dallas. Let's even say it's a third round pick, but that's just where the quarterbacks go in this year's draft.
Running backs.
Will he be able to top Kenneth Walker, where you have him ranked? You have Kenneth Walker kind of in the 10 to 12 tier, but you were never super high on Kenneth Walker. Do you think he would immediately go above him as far as ranks go?
Oh, man, it would be tough not to, because not only do you, like, I think I'm in the ballpark on where Kenneth Walker is typically valued across the board.
You are. I'm just saying, as a prospect coming out, you weren't that high on him. You were never like super high on him, you know, in the NFL. That's all I was saying. I'm not saying that you hate the guy.
The big concern is, how does that backfield play out in Seattle with the new regime? We talk about Geno Smith and they trade for Sam Howell. A lot of people trying to figure out what to do there. A lot of Sam Howell fans are very supportive there and think he's going to win that job. He's not, but we don't know how the running back situation is going to play out. It would be very tough not to bump a Trey Benson up a tier if he lands in Dallas.
Not up a tier, but over him. So he would be pretty much running back 12 at that, or running back 10 at that point. Would you have him that high?
I'd put him in the same tier.
Just in the same tier. All right.
Yeah, same tier. As a Homer Cowboys fan, I cannot put a Cowboys running back in the top 12, no matter who they drafted or when, because I think there's still some questions at that O-line. Like last year with Tony Pollard, again, second half of the year, he got the juice back in his legs, but there still wasn't any holes for him to run through. And then you lose Tyron Smith, you lose your starting center. I'm okay with him losing the starting center. He wasn't the best. He was solid. He did the trick. But they've got a lot of holes to fill, and they're running out of options to fill them. You know, they're probably going to draft a tackle, I'm guessing, in the first round to replace Tyron Smith. They could go the guard route, and they could kick their guard out to tackle. So there's a lot of ifs there in Dallas right now with the O-line. And all right. Zeke, just wait, one last thing on the Zeke comment in the chat there, going back to Dallas. The insiders say the door's open on both ends, but there has been zero conversations to this point.
All right, so I want to run through some of these guys and where I have them valued. Mm-hmm. And I want you to just say buy or sell based on the respective rookie pick I have them tiered with. So the whole way through, I want to go Mitch Dan. All right. Well, now I just got to find where I have these guys. All right. DeAndre Swift or 201?
Sell.
201.
Tony Pollard or 201?
No.
Pollard.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. Joe Mixon or 201?
Bye.
201.
Derrick Henry or 201?
Bye.
King Henry.
We got Tony Pollard. Aaron Jones or 206? 1 year deal in Minnesota.
Bye.
Aaron Jones.
Devin Singletary or the 704? No. I know Mitch might still take the rookie seventh round pick. Devin Singletary or 210?
So.
Singletary.
Tajay Spears. Obviously not a free agent, but impacted by Tony Pollard. Tajay Spears or 206?
So.
206.
Yeah, I'm there too. Again, obviously that's the tier I have him in. If we go down to 210, 211, maybe I'm interested in a buy, but 206, I'm looking to move off of him. Austin Eckler or 212?
I'll buy Eckler for that.
212.
And these, again, I should have started this conversation off this way. If you're in a 14 team league, a 10 team league, one quarterback, non-tight end premium, things shift. But the way we look at this typically on this show, if this is the first time you're tuning in, 12 team super flex, typical start 10, two running backs, three wide receivers, couple flex, super flex spot, and two PPR for tight ends. Gus Edwards or 306?
Gus.
I'll take Gus, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Mitch.
I agree.
Antonio Gibson or 312?
Bye, Gibson that.
Gibson, it's late.
All right. Oh, I missed a couple guys up top here. Josh Jacobs or 108?
Sell.
Oh, that's tough. Because you might really need Jacobs on your roster. I'm going to go Josh Jacobs.
Mitch, 109 or Josh Jacobs?
Buy Jacobs there.
Okay, so we're right there. Saquon Barkley or 107?
107.
Bye. No, sell, sorry. I'm all confused because we have one person shouting out names, the other one doing what we're supposed to.
That's how we typically go. Yeah. For me, like I see a comment, predictions on what the Vikings are doing. I'm very nervous about Aaron Jones in this Minnesota offense from a what are they going to do perspective. They have picks 108, 129, 157, and then that's kind of the range of running backs we'd be looking at. It wouldn't shock me to see them take a running back with that 108 or 129. Not 1.08.
Oh, I was trying to figure. I'm like, 100. What are we doing?
The 108th pick overall. Get your fantasy hat off for a second.
Yeah,
the 108th pick overall. I think Ty Chandler at his deflated value could be somebody that is intriguing. Mm-hmm. But Aaron Jones, just a 1 year deal, $7 million. You know, gets dinged up quite a bit. Obviously, you could say about a lot of running backs. But he's one that I'm a little bit concerned about. So I do think they add somebody. But they could also go out, add like a Kareem Hunt. And, you know, like Dan mentioned, there are still some of these veterans that are available that will find a home eventually. You know, there are concerns with the Giants. They have Devin Singletary, Gary Brightwell, Eric Gray. Some Eric Gray supporters are still lingering out there. They think that he might get an opportunity. But then they have picks 47, 70, and 107th in the NFL draft. 70 or 107 could be a running back. So
now I don't like how you're doing this. Should be like third round pick, fourth round pick.
I know.
I don't like this whole 100 thing.
I know. I will just do some math in your head. All right. So, but Gus Edwards, I'd be looking to sell. You know, I think that the landing spot as it stands today looks good. I think a lot of people are expecting them to.
He might get 300 carries this year, John.
He might. Mitch.
Yep.
Zach Moss, 2 year deal, $8 million in Cincinnati, easy out after 2024, or Devin Singletary.
I wrote this one. I bet you guys don't know where I'm going with this. It'd be very hard to guess. Zach Moss is a good NFL running back. He's not like a starting caliber, someone's going to go and give him 250 touches, right? But the touches that he gets, he's going to do stuff with him. I think him and Chase Brown are going to be awesome together. And I'm all about Zach Moss at his price compared to Devin Singletary at any cost, to be honest with you.
Dan?
I'd rather Singletary. I just see him more as the feature back replacing Saquon. Familiarity with his old ball coach. Moss, I mean, obviously anyone to get replaced by Jonathan Taylor, but as good as he was running with the Colts at that time with a really good O-line, he got replaced pretty quick. I just don't have that good vibe there in Cincinnati, but it's close. I could see Mitch's take.
Are we hating on a guy for getting replaced by Jonathan Taylor in the starting lineup?
There was a time he couldn't beat Devin Singletary for a job in Buffalo, if we do recall.
That's
true. So
that's a very good point. Good point.
Devil's advocate, are we hating on Justin Fields because he's getting replaced by one of the greatest prospects of all time? Devil's advocate, as they say on Twitter.
I didn't know Drake May was going first overall.
As they say on Twitter, to combat some backlash. I'm just asking the questions. All right, so that was Zach Moss, Devin Singletary. I'm going to take Devin Singletary. I do like Chase Brown at a somewhat deflated cost now because they brought in Zach Moss. But we mentioned the picks that the Giants have at their disposal. The Bengals have a lot of picks in those middle rounds, 86. I know you don't like this, Mitch, but 86, 123, 127. So a third, a couple fourths. But then there's the comp picks, and you know they trickle in as well. But I think they ride it out with Moss and Chase Brown this year. I think Devin Singletary might give you a little bit higher ceiling, as crazy as that sounds. And, you know, the 3-year deal versus the 2 for Moss. But there's not that much of a difference, I think. And depending on their current cost to acquire, I wouldn't hate either one in the right situation. Dan, battle the old dudes. And no, you're not involved. Do you want Austin Eckler, Aaron Jones, or Derrick Henry?
Battle the old dudes, I want Derrick Henry. I'm really attracted to that Baltimore situation of watching him and Lamar in the backfield. I think they could be in for a big year. And I think Henry's different than your prototypical old dude. He's just built different. He's genetically different. So I think he's going to take him longer to age. Then I like Jones, and then I like Eckler. I don't really get Eckler for fantasy anymore. We talked about this last year, but you know, I think he's aging. But 2 years, $11.43 million with Brian Robinson there. I mean, I think they're bringing Eckler in just for some leadership. Good player you want to, you know, as part of your team. But I just don't think that's going to result in a lot of fantasy production.
I agree with what Dan said. I think Derrick Henry's like kind of a smash this year. He's the guy who I'm not worried about him really getting injured. We saw Gus have 12 or 13 rushing touchdowns there this past season. And people will bring up, oh, Lamar's going to steal those. Right. But he doesn't really do that. I really think like Derrick Henry is in such a good spot that if you are a contending team and you do feel like you are that one flex play away from being the dominant team in your league, Derrick Henry is the guy to go out and get so far this offseason.
I'm in, it's unanimous here. I'm Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, Austin Eckler for me. All right, Mitch, which free agent wide receiver signings are you most happy with?
See, I put this in the notes and then I went through it and I'm like, there's like two wide receivers that got signed. So well, do you like Marquise Brown?
Let me just throw out whether it's trade or the free agent signings for everybody. If you have been living under a rock, Darnell Mooney, Atlanta, Deontay Johnson traded to Carolina, Rondale Moore traded to Atlanta, Keenan Allen traded to Chicago, T Higgins franchise tag, Jerry Jeudy traded to Cleveland, Michael Pittman stays in Indianapolis on a 3-year deal. Gabe Davis goes to Jacksonville for 3 years. Hollywood Brown, 1 year, Kansas City. Mike Evans stays put for 2 years. Calvin Ridley, 4 years, $92 million in Tennessee. And then Curtis Samuel, 3 years, $24 million in Buffalo. All right, Mitch.
Okay, so if I was going to pick one for pure fantasy purposes, it's going to be a Deontay Johnson. I think he's going to go in there, be their wide receiver one. I don't think Bryce Young is like the worst quarterback ever, like what he kind of showed last year, but I do think he's going to improve. But the guy that I'm most excited for is of course Hollywood Brown. Just what can that Chiefs offense be with that kind of playmaking ability on the outside? You have Rice. Kelsey's coming back. All of a sudden, they could stretch the field with a player who could actually catch the ball, unlike Valdes-Scantling. So for me, that's the one that as soon as it happened, I'm like, I want to see this actually watching football on Sundays. But if I'm picking a player who I think is going to be the most fantasy relevant, it's going to be Deontay Johnson, because I think he has a chance to be a top 18, 15 wide receiver next year.
This Hollywood Brown move, not just for him, you know, it is a one-year deal, so kind of take that into account if looking to trade for him. But it's a great signing for this offense in general. It really is. Like you said, Mitch, you have Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice working closer to the line of scrimmage. You have Isaiah Pacheco coming out of the backfield, and you have a guy. I mean, we could see some stat lines for Hollywood Brown, you know, like his early healthy days in Arizona. And I say Arizona just because I specifically remember a few of these where it's like three catches, 120 yards, two touchdowns. Yep. And that would not shock me. I don't think Hollywood Brown is going to be one of those receivers where he really needs a lot of the volume. He doesn't. Geist, Curtis Samuel to the Bills is a nice sleeper. I see Jeremy saying hi from DynastyDaddy.com. You can see on the bottom of the screen if you're watching live, proud partner of DynastyDaddy.com. I have several tabs open every single day. It's a great free resource. Go check it out. Let's see.
JB, the chat is just killing my list here, man.
I know.
We got smart listeners here in the chat, you know, and
And Anthony Lurs from the Discord, he's saying Kendrick Bourne with a laughing face.
Yeah, he just gets a laughing face on Kendrick Bourne, man. But I love the Curtis Samuel take. You know, Mitch's question, who are you most happy with? You know, I am most happy with Curtis Samuel there. He was a DFS darling last year, and he was just tough to cover, man. I know there was a lot of volume in Washington. That helped. But if you got a mismatch, you just can't cover him. He is a nightmare in the slot. He's in his prime, he's super athletic, and he gets Josh Allen, and he gets also 3 years, $30 million. Like, that's Buffalo saying, hey, we like this guy. We wanted him. He's going to be a part of what we're doing. And they need help there, just like Kansas City does with Hollywood Brown. So I think Curtis Samuel was probably my favorite with you guys on Hollywood. He was on my honorable mention list here, and he was kind of the obvious one. That's why I tried to be a little different too with Samuel. And then Darnell Mooney, I like that. He was mentioned too in the chat there. I think he's reborn with Kirk Cousins. 3 years, $39 million, nice contract as well. There's a lot of talk about, you know, those deep balls just weren't accurate coming from Justin Fields. That's not going to be a problem with Kirk Cousins. And Michael Pittman was a steal. I'll throw that in there as a little bit of a rapid fire. 3 years, $70 million. I think it's a nice job for the Colts. Hopefully that offense continues to evolve.
I think Curtis Samuel's 3 years, $24 million, maybe up to $30 million.
Maybe it's up to. There's definitely $30 million potential. I got that from NFL.com.
Gotta be precise on these contracts. Otherwise, the chat's going to be like, you were off by $200,000 in this fourth year of the deal.
I mean, who are you here to listen to, NFL.com or me? You tell me, Dan.
It's close.
So, does Curtis Samuel kill Khalil Shakir? If he was even living previously, then right under it, Shakir is better. When healthy, I think Curtis Samuel is just a really nice football player.
Exactly. Curtis Samuel is a very good wide receiver. He just is. We hope Khalil Shakir can be. You know, he has the promise to be. When Curtis Samuel's on the field, he's going to get the ball over Khalil Shakir. That's how I see it.
His contract tells us that also.
For me, Hollywood Brown, fantastic landing spot, obviously. And somebody in the Discord, and it's 100% true, they said, well, you take a discount from a dollar perspective when you go to the landing spot with the highest potential to win a Super Bowl. And, you know, you saw Juju do it. You see Hollywood Brown do it. And it's going to be interesting to see how it goes beyond this 1 year. But I have Hollywood Brown, Curtis Samuel, and then Mike Evans staying put. I really do think that's the best thing for him. I think the connection we saw with him and Baker Mayfield, obviously everybody's coming back. They're in Tampa. I think 2 years staying put as opposed to a new a change in scenery there. I think it's best case scenario for Mike Evans.
It's definitely the best thing for Baker Mayfield. You 100%. Know, I think that was the main key there because he's a Hall of Famer, JB. He'd do well almost anywhere, but continuity is good.
Baker Mayfield's a Hall of Famer? Is that what we just heard?
Easy now.
Easy now. All right, like we do with the running backs, Mitch, 12-team super flex, two PPR for tight ends, start two running backs, start
three receivers. Am I saying the name of what you're saying, or am I still doing the buy or sell?
Say the pick or the player.
Okay, okay, okay.
Hollywood Brown or 112?
112.
112.
Mike Evans or 112?
112.
112.
Calvin Ridley or 201?
201.
201.
Curtis Samuel. Did you guys get my stomach just growled? I don't know if you picked up on the. I mean, I was in the sheets early this morning. I didn't really have time to eat breakfast. Mm-hmm. Curtis Samuel or 303?
303. Oh, no, sorry. Curtis Samuel. What am I thinking? Curtis Samuel by a lot. Yeah.
Darnell Mooney. Or where do I have him? Where do I have him? Darnell Mooney or 304?
304.
So we got Evans. We got Curtis Samuel, Ridley. Gabe Davis or a half-eaten sandwich. No, Gabe Davis or let's call it 301.
See, I have to be careful with this because I have a lot of Gabe Davis. I know what I'm going to say here. I am going to be sent that offer, so I'm saying Gabe Davis.
301.
But, Mitch, is it really Gabe Davis?
Yeah, because that off, who are they going to throw to? Like, we have Kirk and Ingram, right? But that offense is, it's rough, man.
I'm going to throw to Kirk and Ingram and ETN. Yeah,
that's it.
if there are
80 targets.
If there's an opportunity that presents itself to in your dynasty leagues to sell at current market based on trades that have been completed recently on Darnell Mooney, Jerry Jeudy, Gabe Davis, Calvin Ridley, and Keenan Allen, I'd like to sell those guys if possible.
Agreed. Yeah.
All right.
If I could get any second for most of those guys, that's what I'm going to do. Except for Keenan, I'd want a little bit higher. But
so we got, let's see who we run through. Michael Pittman staying put with Anthony Richardson or 108.
108. You're getting a better wide receiver there.
Right, 108.
All right. T. Higgins was franchise tag. T. Higgins or 109?
109.
109. That was just to say, though, like, Mitch, you're hopefully getting a better receiver there.
No, you are.
Yeah, it depends.
T. Higgins or 111? I want to see where it changes.
I'm a 111 still.
I'll go T. Higgins.
I like the back end of the first a lot.
So you would buy T. Higgins for 201? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, 201. I would definitely take Higgins.
All right. Keenan Allen or 205?
205.
205.
What I would look to do if I have some of these veterans, whether it's running backs, wide receivers that I'm looking to unload, whether it's because of my overall exposure to these guys, the percent that I have them rostered is high across my portfolio, or I'm looking to kick off a rebuild or just get some of these guys off my roster. I'm looking to maybe package up like Keenan Allen, Aaron Jones, Calvin Ridley, see if you can upgrade from a dynasty value perspective or pair some of them with a Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford, and see if you can get up there, to a higher end quarterback. Obviously it's not going to get to like an Allen, Mahomes, Lamar, et cetera, but maybe Justin Herbert because of the perceived value and the way people are looking at that. I almost said Michigan situation, but yeah, out there in Los Angeles. And the teams that you might want to target are teams that they don't have a lot of future draft capital. So you see that they're not geared towards the future and they have some holes in their starting lineup. You might be able to successfully move off of these veterans that have switched teams. Like, I think Mike Evans staying put is far better than Keenan Allen or Calvin Ridley, despite that 4-year, $92 million contract from a dynasty perspective. So that's where I am on these guys. Mitch, you mentioned Deontay Johnson. Mm-hmm. Bryce Young wants guys that are going to get open.
Yes.
Deontay Johnson can gets get open. we didn't see it from Jonathan Mingo. Adam Thielen, he was hit or miss. You know, obviously he faded as the season progressed. I think Deontay Johnson is going to be Bryce Young's favorite target by far. And it might not be a sexy stat line, but I could see middle wide receiver two, back end wide receiver two from 2024 production in Deontay Johnson's near future. Mitch, all of the good wide receivers, typically they have a franchise tag placed on them, even though you don't like T. Higgins, apparently, but you would say he's a good wide receiver. Do we continue to see this moving forward?
Hold on, one second. There are two comments in the chat about it. Here's one from Yakubo. Bo. Pittman finished as wide receiver 13, and you want to trade him for the 108. And the reason why, normally, I would say no to this, but I really think you're going to have a good chance to get Rome Odunze there. I think Rome Odunze is coming in the NFL, and he's going to be a top 12 wide receiver. Previous classes, no, I wouldn't have done that, but this isn't previous classes. See, he's saying Odunze's gone. If that's the case, if that's what you think, so be it. But I think there's going to be four quarterbacks that go, couple wide receivers, then you're going to have Bowers. And I think right there at the 108, you're going to have a good shot at that.
To play devil's advocate too, Gardner Minshew was throwing him the ball most of last season. Yeah. How does it really change? I like Michael Pittman. I actually have him over 108. But as I was saying earlier, I'm just asking the questions. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Like, does that come into play? We'll see. But I know that certainly is impacting Michael Pittman's value. And I think Michael Pittman is more of a buy because of the deflated cost. Typically, I don't think you need to go out and spend that 108.
Yeah. It is a great question by our listener there. And that's why I went back before Mitch and said, 108, are we sure we're getting a receiver? But you also kind of included, even if you don't, if Rome goes, hey, J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix might be there. Like, there might be a quarterback you can't pass up there for Pittman. So it's a tough one. Would rather it be 107 and feel a lot more confident. But I think still at 108, you're really getting a talented dude.
All right, so transitioning. I mean, there are great comments there from Yakubo and Lurs. But the franchise tag, do we think this continues?
I do, because what we're seeing now, so if you just look at wide receiver contracts right now, average per year, you have Tyreek Hill at $30 million, Adams is at 28, Cups at 26, even that contract really just signed as a top 10 at $24 million. When Jefferson signs his contract and Chase signs his contract, they're all going to be worth well over $30 million year over year. I just don't think teams are going to let their good wide receivers leave. I just think this is what's going to happen. They're going to hit with the fifth-year option. Then they're going to get hit with the franchise tag, and they're going to get hit with a really big deal. So if you have a good wide receiver that could be a free agent, I just don't think we really see him leaving teams. We see Calvin Ridley. Sure, he's 30, right? I just don't think we see a lot of teams. We saw a coaching staff and general manager flat out get fired because of the A.J. Brown trade. And that's why they have a whole new staff there in Tennessee. And it's because, like, they traded what you can't trade anymore. You can't replace A.J. Brown as you can replace almost everybody else on the football team. So I think we see very few elite wide receivers leaving their teams in future years.
Dan, before I turn it over to you, I know you disagree a little bit, Mitch, but I think it kind of ebbs and flows. You look at running back last year. A lot of franchise tags. Mm-hmm. And I know the whole running back class discussion from last year to this, you strongly disagreed. So we don't want to get into it again. But this year with the wide receivers, you have a lot of good wide receivers coming out. And we kind of saw that play out with, you know, maybe the market on some of these guys. But looking at it, 2024, either they're going to be a free agent or you have to decide on the fifth-year option. Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brandon Ayuk, Devontae Smith, Nico Collins, Jalen Waddle, T. Higgins again, Chris Godwin, Amari Cooper, Hollywood Brown, Deontay Johnson, Jerry Jeudy, just to name a handful. You think, like I agree with you. Chase, Lamb, Jefferson, St. Brown, they're getting locked in deals.
Yes, without a doubt.
But I think once you get below that, I think we could see some movement with a Brandon Ayuk, a Devontae Smith, Nico Collins, potentially Jalen Waddle. Like, I think you kind of...
Ayuk's really the only guy there who I think moves the needle as far as like the elites of the elites. The other guys are fine, but I don't think they're the upper echelon wide receivers. Ayuk is, but I don't think Devontae Smith is like even in his level.
But these wide receivers, I think there could be a discrepancy between what they think their price tag should be and what management. Right. And I think because of that, maybe we start to see more of a market open up for those, not the highest end guys, but the higher end of that middle group. I think we could see some more movement there. And then like AJ Brown, when he's a free agent, he's going to be 28. Does he kind of go the Calvin Ridley route? Like once you hit 28, 29, you probably get a high-end contract elsewhere. Maybe?
Yeah, no, I can see it. I can see it.
Dan, what are your thoughts on this topic overall?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you both. And I like that you listed those names both on the next echelon of receivers, JB, and then when you hit that little age, you know, approaching the age cliff, I think it goes to, you know, Mitch's point of, yes, I think you're going to see more of those wide receiver tags. The RB tag is too expensive. I think it just makes sense for the teams to place that tag on a receiver and either buy them one more year before moving on, because maybe they are that fringe player that they're not going to give a 3-4, you know, year deal and all those dollars to, or if they do want to extend the contract, it still buys them one more year to do that, to kind of be sure. So I think we'll definitely see this trend continue.
You mentioned the running back tag being a little too expensive, but once we get these Chase, Lamb, Jefferson, St. Brown contracts, that wide receiver tag gets elevated.
It does. It does. But I think those guys are just you're going to pay those guys. You're not going to lose them in the sooner.
No. But I'm saying that impacts the franchise tag then.
True. But we see teams paying these wide receivers. We don't see teams paying running backs.
Yeah, I think we could very well see a situation, kind of this T. Higgins situation, where these guys like Jalen Waddle, I could see Nico Collins getting an extension, but like a Jalen Waddle, a Devontae Smith, a Brandon Ayuk, trade me. If you're going to franchise tag me, trade me. And then you have guys that are older, maybe like a Godwin or an Amari getting a 2-year, 3-year deal elsewhere. It's going to be space says Questy needs to sign JJ. I can't rest easy until he signs. I
really just give him 33 a year now and for 5 years or 4 years, whatever he wants, and just call it good. Like,
yeah. And then how many of these guys do we think we could see like kind of the Juju Hollywood route, like a Jerry Jeudy after his contract's up? I'll go sign in Kansas City 1 year, $7 million.
Right. Yeah.
See if I can bounce back a little bit, get a championship. You know, Debo's a free agent after 2025. So a lot of really interesting things across the wide receiver landscape. Mm-hmm. And then when you put a dynasty spin on it, how much of an impact does it have? Like, we see T. Higgins dropping in value because of the uncertainty. If you have, and we see with running backs, whenever they get tagged, if you get a franchise tag put on you, that just creates more uncertainty, and that causes a little bit of chaos when it comes to the dynasty, right? So, Mitch, what veteran player are you trading for today based on what we've seen in free agency so far?
So I brought this up only because the only thing I wanted to talk about today was Kyren Williams. I really didn't care about all this other stuff, but there was no way to really get him to line up in. But
you could have just put in, who should we be investing in and why is it Kyren Williams?
Yeah, exactly. And that would be the whole show. But Rams went out. They solidified their offensive line. We've already seen what Kyren Williams can do at the end of last season. This has nothing to do with, oh, hey, no other running back went there. I don't think they were ever going to sign a running back. They'll probably draft one because they need someone behind him. But I think Kyren Williams is an absolute smash right now. I think you should project him to be a top 5, top 6 running back in fantasy next year. And you can see that for a couple of years. You're going to have Stafford for a couple of years. He is someone, John, you know, I went out and offered, and I'm willing to pay above market value for him.
We got a trade done.
I know. I sent one to you, and you even just accept it. If John just accepts a trade when you send it to him immediately and there's no counter, you know that he's extremely happy with this point. So I think I paid John
Nick Chubb and a 25 first.
And a 25 first. And that was about the price point I got him at in a couple of other leagues. And I am just willing to go out and get Kyren on almost every team I can if it's competing. Because I really think building around a really strong foundation of running backs is an easy way to go. Because we have guys like Deontay Johnson you could get. You can get Hollywood Brown for pretty cheap in Dynasty right now. Well, before this happened this week, right? But you could always get 12 or 13 points. Sometimes it's really hard to get that on where you can look at it seasonally for running backs. We can always find them off the waiver wires for a week or two. But these running backs, you can lock in and hopefully get 18 or 19 points from them. That's what I want. So this whole show is just about me wanting to say, go get Kyren Williams. Do it. Just do it.
Can we have a comment? Kyren is the next Damian Pierce.
Yeah, they're not even like the same thing. So that's better, okay. Better I mean, they're both running backs. I guess that works. But
all yeah, right, Dan, who do you got here?
Real quick. Yeah, I like that, Mitch. This was a tough question because like veterans, we don't really like veterans in Dynasty. We like those youngins. Mm-hmm. But just going through rankings, how things are moving. You know, as far as guys moving, we talked about Curtis Samuel. So he just stays on the list of a veteran. Hey, I'd like to hopefully get, and people don't like him for some reason. But then maybe friend of the show, Rashad White. You know, boy, he's still a bell cow and he's not as popular and as sexy as Kyren Williams. But man, they're just status quo solid. And he seems to be the guy in the bell cow in Tampa Bay. And when you look at all these free agent movings, there's a lot of multiple backfield situations and nothing's changed in Tampa.
That's a great call, Dan. I really like that one.
Thanks, buddy.
For me, I think one of the big winners, you could look at Chuba Hubbard.
So far, yeah.
I mean, not much going on there with the backfield, but you have Miles Sanders, who is so disappointing, Raheem Blackshear, Mike Boone. You have picks 33, 39, 65, 101, 141. Like, they have so many other issues and positions they need to address. I think Chuba Hubbard at his current price tag, it's somebody that you can get thrown into larger deals. And I know Mike Evans stayed in Tampa Bay, but getting a little bit healthier, bringing Baker Mayfield back, presumably pushing him back into the slot a little bit more than we saw in 2023. I'm still in on Chris Godwin. I really am. It's somebody that I'm looking to acquire still. And then if there's any opportunity, I know we wanted to talk about guys we're looking to trade for, but to trade away before the dust settles, the NFL draft comes around, if you can move off of a Jacoby Brissett, if anybody's looking at him as a bridge quarterback, and I'm saying dirt cheap, move off of a Brissett,
agreed,
a Darnold, a Minshew, a Stidham at the quarterback position, just cash out. Yeah. I know sometimes there's optimism. Well, I don't want to miss out. And obviously the price tag is a little bit different across the board with those four quarterbacks I mentioned, but I would look to get out. And then these wide receivers switching teams that are a little bit older, Calvin Ridley, Keenan Allen, see if there's a market in your league. And I would look to explore that. Okay. And then the last thing I'll say, I'm going to save it for our final thoughts actually, but anything else? Like, do we like any of these backup quarterbacks?
Hit the button, John.
Hold on. Do we like
it's been an hour?
You hit your word count, Bauer.
Listen, like, just I'm gonna name some names. Do you any of
his internet's guys telling him to
for potential? For potential upside, do you like any of these guys? Okay, Jameis Winston, Joe Flacco, Jacoby Brissett, Drew Locke, Tyrod Taylor, Mason Rudolph in Tennessee. Any of them?
No.
They're just stash guys that I'd have on the roster. Maybe if there's something in Mason Rudolph, because if Will Levis busts, I mean, but I don't like any of them.
Yeah. If I have them, cool. If I don't, I think really don't care either.
As a larger deal, throw in pieces, Mason Rudolph and Jameis Winston, I think, are the ones that are intriguing to me. But again, I'm getting the look from you guys.
Final thoughts.
I like how you were arguing about it, but then like your internet even cut off too. Your internet was like, this isn't going to go any longer.
Yeah. All right, Mitch, for the 237th time, final thoughts, what do you got?
Okay, I'm just going to say, startup-wise, if you're going to do one, start one now. Because the worst thing you could do is start one in the middle of April, and it goes through the NFL rookie draft. Because it changes everything. So you want to make sure that all of your startups are done by the time that that happens. Because it can control completely. Someone could be on the clock and just hold the clock hostage the whole time. Or you could be through most of your rookies at that point, and then all of a sudden there's a big jump and whoever's on the clock, you know, gets that player. So for me, it's just make sure your startups are over by probably April 15th, April 20th.
Dan, with most of free agency now behind us, a lot of NFL trades taking place over the last week, what do you got for our listeners' final thoughts?
Just keep an eye on that free agent wire. You know, there still are some names out there that are going to land, or they're going to impact some playing time situations. Hopefully encourage the listeners to get active in your leagues, update your trade bait, do those kind of things. And then, you know, Mitch and I might start a GoFundMe for John to fix his internet and replace that Michael Gallup jersey that's now obsolete. So it's been fun.
Hey, the Michael Gallup jersey has not been up for quite some time. All right. My final thought, very quickly, we talked about like the Kareem Hunts, the J.K. Dobbins, those types of running backs that are still available. They're still out there. When they sign, if they sign into a somewhat interesting situation, especially with more time that passes, I would look to move off of them right away for anything you can get, because there very well could be a guy that just signs and eventually they get cut and they don't even make it to the season. So even though the situation might look promising, I would look to explore the possibility to move on. Hopefully you all enjoy this show, loving the Sunday morning shows. And there was a lot that took place over the last week. So yes, we ran a little bit over, but I still think we made pretty good time. For Mitch Sorensen, Dan LaMagna, I'm John Bauer. Hope you all have a great week. We'll catch you next Sunday. Peace.